I'm going to talk about two big trends in American life over the last 50 or 60 years, the decline of institutional Christianity and the growing polarization of our politics.
Ross Douthat of the New York Times talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The increasingly strident division between an ideological left and an ideological right. And I'm going to argue that Christianity has weakened precisely because people have become more likely to identify with ideologies than with religious beliefs, and that a recovered Christianity, a more robust public religious faith, is actually an answer to polarization because it gives people an identity that's bigger than partisanship, so they can define themselves as Christians first and liberals or conservatives second.
You can meet and hear Ross Douthat at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
The choir is where I think the choir ought to be, invisible to the people, so that the music comes from behind you and above you in an organ loft. You can't act like a peacock if you know that nobody is looking at you.
There is some truth to the criticism that we don't want to do our disciplines just for show. But I think the pendulum has completely swung in the other way, and we do our Christian freedom just for show.
She prepares him for his burial. She does it in this very generous and humble way. That's what we're supposed to remember. Her humility, her obedience, her generosity, not her name.
LCMS Navy chaplains appreciate daily food for thought on Issues Etc.
The headline from Vox asks the question, will Bibles designed for the Instagram generation get millennials into religion? There's one publisher that's trying. Alabaster Publishers, a Christian startup, is producing editions of the books of the Bible as coffee table books, replete with a lot of white space and beautiful photos that may or may not have anything to do with the actual text of, say, the book of Romans, if you happen to purchase that coffee table book, Romans, for, well, a paperback will run you $38 and the hardcover will run you $78. That means if you got the whole Bible, you're looking at about $5,000, and where are you going to put all those coffee table books? Who has that many coffee tables? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about that Vox story with Joe Willman, Senior Instructional Designer for Concordia Publishing House, here in the first half hour of the program. After that, our good friend and regular guest Wesley Smith joins us to talk about two issues. Medicare for all, he says it's a real threat to freedom of conscience for doctors and many others if it became a reality. And he's also written recently about transhumanism. Then we're going to spend some time looking at the Lenten hymn, My Song is Love Unknown. Dr. Arthur Jest will be our guest. Joining us to talk about a coffee table version of the Bible aimed at millennials, Joe Willman. He's Senior Instructional Designer for Concordia Publishing House in St. Louis. Joe, welcome to Issues Etc.
Great to be here, Todd.
This story from Vox talking about this publisher, Alabaster, and producing its millennial edition of the Bible, what do you make of the way that it opens? It says Brian Chung, he's the brain master of this project, was working as a campus minister with the National InterVarsity Christian Fellowship a few years ago at the University of Southern California when he decided something was wrong with the Bible. What do you make of that?
Well, I would think any Christian would hear the last part of that statement, wrong with the Bible. Something was wrong with the Bible, and immediately internally, that would cause some angst, maybe a little bit of anger when you read that. I would say that since that's not a quote, I think that the author may have had a little bit to do with that statement, because if you read on further in the article, it keeps referring to their Bibles that they have, which are only individual books of the Bible as Bibles in itself. So I would assume that the author probably had a little bit to do with that. But the whole sense of what this Brian Chung continues to try to drive gives you the impression that that is what he thinks. So though it's not a direct attributed quote, it does give you the feel that they want to improve upon the Bible.
As far as you can tell, what are the assumptions of the premise of Alabaster's new edition of the Bible for Millennials?
You know, I think these are graphic designers who are Christians who look at this and they they wanted to make it more beautiful than the Bible that they had. Maybe all they had was just the plain text of the Bible with two columns stacked on top of each other, really thin paper, easy to read through. And it's a noble task for them to think, hey, we would really like to give God's word the attention to detail that it deserves, and we really want to make this a beautiful thing. I have my family's generational Bible, my great-great-grandmother's Bible that was printed in 1900, and what a work of art alongside God's word that is. So I don't think their intentions are wrong, but I do see their premise as trying to add to and improve upon, which does take it in a different direction.
So what do you think they're aiming to do here? How would you describe the goal of this new edition of the Bible?
You know, they're addressing, in their sense, in their mind, these millennials that are leaving the church, and they're trying to attract them to reading the Bible by adding pictures. It's very in vogue when you look at one of these books that they have put together. They've taken really fancy pictures and put them alongside the text of the Bible. They've created a lot of white space. So their thought process when they do this is that they are going to get somebody to pick up this book, open it, and then read it. And so through attracting them through an attractive book and picking it up, they may hear the gospel at that point in time. So it's a thought process that finds itself in almost this, if we just do this thing, then people will come to faith. And that, as Lutherans, gives us especially a little bit of angst on the inside, because it's just this gist thing. It makes us think of going back to the parable of the prodigal son. When the younger son is coming back, he's full ready to tell his father, here are all of the things that I want to do for you. Just take me back in, but here's all I'm going to do for you. And then we know the story that God says, no, stop right there. Just as the father said, stop. He stopped him before he could even do that and brought him back in. So it's just this always wanting to add something on top of it. Or if we just do this, then people will come to faith.
What are the pros and the cons of Bibles with visuals? It's not a new idea at all.
You know, as a father with young children right now, we have at CPH the Growing in Faith Bible, which is a wonderful resource. And my six-year-old daughter is reading through this, and there are great images of what Scripture is teaching, the passage. Her favorite one right now is Moses and the 10 plagues, and she loves going through that and seeing all of the visuals of that. And it causes her to remember those things. And so from a prose perspective, it gives our brains the thought process to connect an image to what the text is saying. You know, I think of what the Lutheran Study Bible did with all of the woodcuts at the beginning of each book of the Bible. These are beautiful things that show us kind of the concepts that you're getting ready to see, you're getting ready to read as you're seeing what God said by hearing it as you read it. But the cons also are what I think Alabaster has gotten into a little bit as you look at some of their art choices, because if your art doesn't drive towards God's word, towards what it's saying, or even depict what it is, then you're missing the whole point of what God's word is. And we know at the end of John in chapter 20, he talks specifically about the book of John, that these things are written that you may believe, that you may have life by his name. And, you know, if that's the point of Scripture, then our images ought to connect directly to God's word. And there's several examples in their artwork that they went through that you can see some that you're like, that's okay. But then you see a lot of them and you really have a hard time understanding why they selected the image that they did.
It's interesting. I paged through their edition of the book of Romans online, and I'm trying to see if there's any correspondence between this big, stunning visual. They're beautiful on the one page, and then on the facing page, the text of the book of Romans. And honestly, maybe I'm just too old to make the connection, but I didn't see any connection in most of those visuals.
You know, I had the exact same experience, Todd. When I looked at their Psalms and I looked through that, I thought, you know, they opened with Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And the image that they have is serene mountains with clouds going over them. And so I can see a slight connection in that imagery right there. But then you go to some of the other Psalms where Psalm 119, and the image that they have to the left of that is dried rose petals. Or you get to Psalms 124 and 125, and you have this woman who is very fancily dressed with her face down and arm extended on a couch. And it's very interesting that their selection. So I don't know if this is just very artistic or creative on their point. Some of them seem to have a vague connection, and then others of them, they just seem to be a work of art that they've added in.
So what concerns you, if any, regarding turning the Bible into essentially a coffee table book? They talk about the Bible sitting on the shelf in most homes. Let's get it out on the coffee table. not a bad idea, but what concerns do you have?
You know, as people, we regard the Word of God, the Bible, this text that has been given to us for us to have faith, for it to create faith in our hearts. We hear this, and it just created as a piece of art that lays on a coffee table that somebody may pick up and just nonchalantly page through. We don't treat the Bible as something that we just nonchalantly look at. We also don't treat the Bible as a bait and switch thing. We don't treat it as something where there are beautiful images that get you to pick it up and then, oh, by the way, here's some Bible next to it. We look at this as the Word of God that gives us eternal life.
We're talking with Joe Willman, Senior Instructional Designer for Concordia Publishing House, about a coffee table version of the Bible aimed at millennials. When we come back, millennials are less and less interested in religion. Why is that? It's time to register to vote for the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Each congregation or multi-point parish must register their pastor and lay voters with the LCMS Office of Secretary by Sunday, March 24th of 2019. A nomination form has been mailed to every LCMS congregation. Learn more at issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident. issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John's Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Trinity Lutheran, San Dimas, California. Emmaus Lutheran, South Bend, Indiana. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Port Sanilac, Michigan. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. And St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to be studying that lovely Lenten hymn, my favorite Lenten hymn. My song is Love Unknown. Dr. Arthur Jess, professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. That's coming up in hour two of the program. In the meantime, we're talking about a coffee table version of the Bible being produced and marketed to millennials. Joe Willman of Concordia Publishing House is our guest. Joe, it's pretty well known that millennials are less and less interested in religion, given the fact that many of them are identifying as the religious nuns, that is, no religious preference or affiliation. Why is this?
From a practical standpoint, I think there are a lot of things to look at just practically. You know, we are the generation, and I being a millennial as well, or I'm not a big fan of grouping people by that, but as somebody who falls in that generation, we're the generation that grew up with the church growth movement. We're the generation that grew up with the Sunday sports starting to grow up. We're the generation that just grew up with all of these things that were me-focused as we started to do that. And so I think from a practical standpoint, those can be some things that you can look at. But the reality is we're just rejecting God's word. We're rejecting the gifts that God has given us. We're rejecting showing up every Sunday and receiving what he has given for us for our strengthening. And then even through that, we reject looking out at our neighbor at that point and seeing what our neighbor's needs are. So while there are practical concerns, it all boils down to us rejecting what God's good gifts are for us.
Here's a rather lengthy quote from the Vox article, and this is from Elizabeth Angowski, an assistant professor of religion at Earlham College. She says, "I do find it interesting that this company says it aims to give readers a fresh visual experience and heightened level of contemplation by adding photos. I wonder in that statement if it is implied that textual sources without images, or even their specifically chosen images, are then by extension somehow less conducive to higher contemplation." She says, "I think that form and content should be considered in tandem when it comes to reading and interpreting any literary work, but here we seem to have an argument that this newly designed form is not just about appealing to a particular subset of folks aesthetically. Alabaster, the publisher, makes it sound like the matter of enhancement of, or possibly even a correction to, the reading experience." What do you think she's saying, and do you share those concerns?
Well, what she's saying is a concern that I think all of us should have whenever we pick up anything, not just what Alabaster has, but what is this trying to teach me? What is this trying to show me? And there at the end, her last statement, enhancing the Bible or correcting the Bible, is always a problem. It's always something that we should fight against, that the modern age of so many people reading into the Bible what is not to be read into it. That's why it's so important that we have solid exegesis of when we read this text. And at the same time, all of the things that go around that text are really important. If I think to the liturgy, and we look at our lectionary, the prayers of the day, the hymns of the day, all of that has been crafted together specifically as we get images of that gospel lesson for the day. But none of it is a detractor away from something else. None of it takes you away from something else, but it points you towards Christ. And again, all of these images that we have, all of it should be pointing us towards what that book of the Bible is teaching, and hopefully point us to Christ. So I share the concerns that she has there at the end.
I'm curious about the price of this. I did a little math, and if a hardcover edition of Romans runs for $78 online, just for the book of Romans, you're talking about, if they eventually publish 66 books, your Bible's going to cost you $5,000, and you won't have enough shelf space for it either. Do you think that Alabaster has priced its Bibles out of the millennials' reach?
Well, from a shelf space standpoint, I'm always pro adding more bookshelves in your house. I don't think, when I think about the Marie Kondo getting rid of all of your books, that gives me the heebie-jeebies when I think about losing my books at my house. But from the price, man, it is an expensive, expensive book. And that's priced out of any normal person. I mean, to think to just buy a book for $38 for one book of the Bible, that is an extreme expense. I think about the Lutheran Study Bible. I believe you can get an edition of it itself for $38. So to get the whole Bible with great study notes and some great images, sure, it doesn't have the white space that Alabaster is going for. But to do that at such a high price, I think it's missing the mark. And even earlier on in the article, when you hear them talk about their experience of handing out Bibles at an InterVarsity event and seeing people toss them away and do all of that. If this is meant to be something to be given to people, it's going to be hard for people to go out and buy 10, 20 editions of one of these to hand out at an event. It could be cost prohibitive.
Brian Chung, the publisher, is quoted as saying, "We want these books to be true and relevant to millennials. We are all on our iPhones, but we also respond really well to visual imagery. And so it has to really grasp our attention. If it does, it can change the way we think." What's your response?
Well, God's word changes us. But what we do to God's word to make it into the "if we just" category, if we just do this, that doesn't change us. But God's word comes and it changes us. It brings us in. It pulls us into the faith. It sustains us. And we receive it in so many ways in which it touches us. We receive it in the water and the word. We receive it in the heard word and the preached word. And we receive it in the body and blood and the bread and wine on the altar. So that's why God's word has a change in us. And it's never going to be because of anything that we add to it or do to it. It's only efficacious in so far that it is from God and His holy word.
You're the senior instructional designer for Concordia Publishing House. What can you tell us about CPH's faith courses?
Yeah, so cphfaithcourses.com is a product that I work a lot on here at CPH, and it's designed for people to dig into God's Word through some of our books. So several of the Issues, Etc. audience will have heard from many of our authors like Trevor Sutton, William Whedon, Matt Richard. These are great people, or Dr. Andrew Doss with his Galatians studies. And we have book studies and Bible studies that have video content that go alongside them with great discussion questions for you to do by yourself, or what we would really love for you to do is with your Bible study group, a book study, wherever you would gather with people, to use these to go alongside the author as you're learning about God's Word.
Folks, you can find out more about CPH Faith Courses under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Joe Willman is Senior Instructional Designer for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Joe, thanks for your time.
God bless, Todd.
When we come back, Wesley Smith joins us. He's a columnist for National Review Online. We're going to talk with him about Medicare for All and the freedom of conscience and transhumanism.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
The difference between being in the world and being of the world finally comes down to being in Christ. However they live, whatever they do, wherever they go, Christians are in Christ. These words from the Reverend Dr. Joel Bierman perfectly encapsulate the March issue of The Lutheran Witness. Life together, set apart. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Mark your calendars for the Scott Credit Union Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 16th and 17th, at and to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. The Home and Garden Show is a fundraiser produced by a volunteer parents group with the support of regional businesses and partners. The Metro East Home and Garden Show has something for everyone, from the basement to the roof and everything in between, to gardening, lawn care, and landscaping outside your home. From Fred Bird and fabulous prizes, including a flock of Cardinal tickets, to pre-game field passes, and the opportunity to throw out the first pitch of a Cardinal game this season, courtesy of Seavers Equipment, registration required. And remember, pulled pork, potato salad, and more for sale all weekend long. Show admission, parking are free, courtesy of Element Turf. The Scott Credit Union Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 16th and 17th, is sponsored in part by Liberty Fence, Renown Remodeling, Seavers Equipment, and Woods Basement Systems. Show and exhibitor details can be found at mehgs.org.